and welcome to another brand new edition of Visions for 2026. With me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and a very special guest today. But before I get to her, I want to say Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Don't mind my singing. I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year, a year that is filled with good health, productivity, lots of joy, peace, and of course, love. Love in the heart for yourself and your neighbor. So today I'm starting the year off by talking about a production that is currently running in Barbados. And I have Anne Polito, the producer of that theater production, in the studio with me to discuss it. Welcome to Visions, Anne.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Right. So, Anne, we have this play currently showing called Scammerlife.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about it, and why do you think it was necessary to have Scammerlife at this point?
Right. So Scammerlife is written and directed by Gerard Lordzan-Aline. You might have seen his videos on the internet speaking to Bayesian culture. So Scammerlife has been in the works for the last 4 years, I think, as far as him writing it. Gerard and I have been working in a number of capacities. And so when it came time to producing the play, you know, it made sense for us to work together to make it happen. And when he was writing this play, it was actually during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, you know, we saw people kind of figuring out, you know, creative, quote unquote, ways to get by as people weren't able to work. And so people were doing a number of things. And unfortunately, some of those things were things like scams or, you know, other ways outside of job to make money. So making these observations and how it was transpiring specifically in Barbados. Yeah, Gerard wrote this production also speaking to the ways or observations he made of like what it's like to work in a small country where the rules are a little bit different. And so feedback we've heard from people are just about Barbados, what it's like to get by, you know, the kind of everyday life things that happen at jobs and working with other people.
So you've said quite a lot there. And one of the major things that came across to me as you spoke is how does this production really give voice to a lot of those unspoken emotional issues that are confronting Barbadians?
Yeah, there's, I mean, the play is an intergenerational cast. So it's the, you know, as the title says, Scammerlife, everyone is kind of playing into this game in their own way and just trying to survive. So we have people, you know, working there 40 hours or probably more jobs and paying bills while the cost of living is rising like year after year, and then not being able to make a dent in their debts. Other things come up, whether it's like a leaky faucet or like the car needs to get repairs. And then when you do get those things fixed, those people aren't managing those projects well. And so like you're left with unanswered queries and things like that. And then you also have other people just trying to, you know, it just seems like one thing after the other. And it's just a cycle of people trying to get by in their own way.
Do you think that the play is challenging any of the cultural norms or misnorms around persons working through the hardships rather than, you know, skirting around some of the severe issues that are affecting us and we're just pushing them into the background, which explodes?
Yeah, so I think that generally we, like some of these behaviors are kind of normalized, or sometimes I think especially in these small islands, you kind of, or small communities, you kind of normalize the things that are happening around you and don't really talk about them. Or, you know, sometimes it's a thing around shame and not wanting to talk about people in that particular way. But I think that, you know, comedy is a great tool to understand and look at these social issues. So what this play does is, like, as you said, like challenging these things by like actually talking about them in a funny way, based on like observations again and experiences that other people are having all the time. It's really nice because we also see people resonating with it during the shows, we have audience members like talking along and agreeing, which tells us like, yeah,
Yes.
this is stuff that people don't get to talk about. And that might also be like in an effort to of like self-preservation so that they don't get fired, or you know what I mean? Or like avoiding social stigma if they do talk about it. So that culture doesn't really exist in Barbados as far as like being a whistleblower, I think, but and like using something like a play as a way for, you know, Barbados or Bajans to talk about these very serious things that happen to nearly everybody, as we've seen with audience response.
You stated earlier that Gerard would have written this during the COVID period, which for many of us highlighted or brought to the fore the concerns around mental health issues, mental wellness, particularly around the young people. And him being a young man, I really have to commend him for writing such poignant play, highlighting and really bringing many of the social issues that, as you correctly said, sometimes we don't want to name, sometimes we don't want to discuss it. So I really have to commend him. And I did attend the show, and I have to agree with you again that, it compels you to look at the issues. You want to join in as the actors are doing their piece, and you give your comment and you agree or you disagree. So as we talk about the play, Anne, tell us where is it being staged and which weekends?
Yes, so Scamma Life, we're at the Queen's Park Steel Shed. We've just finished our third week and coming into our fourth week for the new year. So we'll be showing the play on Saturdays and Sundays. So that would be January 3rd and 4th, and then the 10th and 11th. And then we'll also be continuing on to January 18th, and that's where we'll have an accessibility night.
Okay, so we're going to come back to talk about the accessibility night, but I want to encourage all who are listening and, can please go out and see the play. It's very powerful, it's very significant, and it
Yes,
will
please.
help us to continue some conversations around many of the social issues that we need to talk properly about.
Yes, absolutely. And then as far as tickets, we have both physical box offices and online box offices. Online, you can buy your tickets at ticketlinks.com. That's ticketslinks with a Z.com. And then our physical box offices are all around the island. So we have one at Day and Night Boutique at the Walk Welch's, Gents Closet at Sheraton Mall, Secrets at Sky Mall, Soul Addiction in Bridgetown, and then Oasis Tech Cube at Massey Sunset Crest. And tickets are $60. You can buy ahead, purchase tickets, or the night of, they'll be $70 at the door.
Okay, so we're talking about some of the social issues and the need for some serious discussion and a way forward. Do you think that the space, the theater space, is allowing for that with both the actors and the audience?
Yes, absolutely. I think what it is like with comedy, really, like it's kind of like no holds barred. Nothing is off limits when it comes to comedy. So I think what comedy does is also, you know, take these serious issues and kind of gives space between the audience member and the issue so that you could kind of look at it in a different way. So what is happening is, you know, people are watching, able to find comic relief, relate to whatever is happening on stage, whether that's something that they've gone through, or people might know somebody who is like this character and they're kind of acting it out with, you know, the same words that a family member or a coworker or a friend might say, and delivering it with the kind of emotion and character of somebody that they might know. So then that's sparking conversation for later. And, you know, even though there's a bunch of punchlines that are really funny, there's also a lot of real issues underneath there. So I think even with things like mental health, like that's something that my generation, for example, is dealing with and trying to, you know, I think a little bit better at accessing services to deal with that. And it's a thing that more and more people are going through for a number of reasons. But, you know, we have I won't give away too much with the play, but I do think seeing that and understanding that, like, yeah, there's all these pressures that lead to that. And it, I think, for dealing with things and healing, the first step is recognizing that whatever you're feeling or whatever you're going through just has to have context and make sense. And I think that that's what this play does, is tell people, like, yeah, what you're going through makes sense and has context, especially within a place like Barbados.
Oh, good. Now, what message would you say Gerard and yourself as young people, other young people involved in the production, is really given to other young people to become more creative, whether it is in theater production or music or some other art form, to bring some of these same social issues to the fore?
I mean, I think, again, like, our generation is tends to be a little bit more, like, cognizant of the things that are going on, and then instead of, accepting it as it is, going forth and doing something. So I don't want to speak too much for Gerard, but I think for him, I think something that he had noticed about the narrative of storytelling in Barbados generally was around, just around, like, violence and what it's like to be a small country, and what it's, maybe coming from, like, a poor, low income neighborhood or background, and how that can impact you. But the reality is, like, that's one component of, like, the very many things that make coming and living in Barbados unique and special as far as the life experience. So I think for Gerard, it was a moment of, like, okay, we could keep telling these stories, but what other stories are exciting and can be heard? And I think for our generation too, is, like, we got a lot of, like, rules handed to us about, like, how to produce music, what it needs to sound like. And then for plays, like, what a good story is and how you're supposed to, employ certain strategies. But I think that our generation is a bit better at, like, mixing different genres, or, like, mixing different techniques and making up new sounds. And so I think doing a little bit of, like, learning the rules and breaking those rules is really what allows people to, like, kind of express themselves and speak to the truth of their experience. And so I think even, like, younger content creators, for example, are, like, doing that, but even further, and, like, coming up with really creative ideas and skits for, like, online content, for example. So I think just continuing to break the rules while also making observations of your surroundings is, I think, the key to addressing issues like this.
Yes. And you mentioned earlier that you will have an accessibility night.
Yes.
Explain a bit more about this.
Yeah, so I'm actually not from Barbados. I came to Barbados a few years ago, and my background is in nonprofit work. So I was working in the San Francisco Bay Area. And if you don't know, that city and that region is pretty progressive in terms of their approach to, like, centering the people and, like, I guess just a culture and a background of political movement building and organizing. And so the organization that I was working with, we were working in spoken word poetry and producing events. And so at some point, we began to work with disability justice organizers to understand, like, okay, so how do we make things like spoken word poetry accessible to other people? We had, like, deaf poets come to one of our events and perform, and they did really great. And so it made us wonder, like, okay, so what else can we do to make this more accessible? So, coming from that, when it came time to this production, I remember reading about a law that passed earlier this year in Barbados. And so, when it came to the production, I got in touch with my colleague that I've done work with, Yemi Knight, and asked them, hey, I want to do this accessibility night. Who do I need to talk to? And Yemi started with a few names, including you, Yudalee. And so then got started from there. And so we've been consulting with different people, trying to understand, like, how accessibility works here in Barbados and how to, work around, like, the very nuanced cultural, I guess, like, differences between the disability community and, like, the United States and Barbados, and learning how to, like, okay, this is what makes sense for Barbados, and here are the things that we can do. So that's a bit of a background, but I'm working with Yemi to get a few things going, including we'll have programs in Braille. We'll also have reserved seating. at the front for disabled persons and their chaperones. Also, we'll have ASL interpreter. For wheelchair users, we've done an audit of the space to make sure that it is like bathrooms are accessible and that the venue itself is wheelchair accessible. We'll also be utilizing audio transmitters and having somebody read audio descriptions while the play is going on for blind persons. So those are a few of the services that we plan on providing on January
Fantastic. I'm smiling from ear to ear because
18th.
many people appreciate the audio description. It's not a regular feature in Barbados. You read about it a lot out of US and the Asian region and so on. And even more internationally, when there are major seminars and workshops and so on, some speakers already integrate their own audio description of themselves so that you, the blind person, can actually have an image of who the speaker is, what that speaker looks like. So I think this is fantastic, and I have to again applaud you and your team for the effort to include people with disabilities in being able to view this production without any major hindrances.
Yay, appreciate that. Yeah, and I also really appreciate your help and support and really getting us to, carve out something that makes sense for the community here. And I think I've also learned a lot about, the way persons are navigating that or what makes sense. Like I said, I had done my own research into, venues, I think in the United States had guides for how to navigate accessibility. And while some of that, I was like, okay, this is a good starting point. And as I began to consult with people like you and other disability advocates and organizers here in Barbados, I was like, oh, this is completely different. Like whatever is happening in the States, can be used as maybe a framework or a starting point, but the
Yes.
context is so vastly different. And I think that's something that I'm learning generally as, someone who's from the States and coming here or living here in a smaller island, which has such specific needs for community members.
Well, I'm really happy that, as you said, your background in San Francisco, which I know has a very powerful history of advocating on the rights of people with disabilities and some very strong disabled advocates in San Francisco area. And to ensure that it is not an add-on, but a fundamental right that you are ensuring is included in this production. And that is the way forward that we want to see more organizers, not just for theater, but generally take this type of approach so that it becomes a routine part of whatever your planning is.
I think as part of this, we've begun to tell other people in the theater world and other organizers about what we're trying to do. And they've also been really excited and have also expressed a need, that Barbados needs this and that they want to be able to apply those same principles. So I am excited about what also happens, during the show and that it goes well and also for the future and what it means to actually have some kind of blueprint for performance and events in Barbados.
As you spoke, and I'm also thinking because so many others are also looking on, not just locally, but regionally. Again, this can be a spark now for other Caribbean organizers to also include accessibility in their own productions.
Yeah, I think the other part of it as well is I think maybe there might be a misconception that accessibility or accommodating that is a bit too difficult or requires too much, resources in whatever way.
Yes.
Which is again a misconception. To me, I think in just in producing this whole thing, this actually has been one of the easier components in making the production happen. I think, yeah, like just talking with community members, figuring out what makes sense. I think everyone has been so helpful so far and is very excited to come on board and share information. And I think if anything, there might be, just as with any kind of production errand or production need that comes up, there might be some inconveniences or a little bit more work. There's something that people say that inconvenience is the price you pay for having community. And I think our team is just very happy to pay the price of doing the extra work, hiring extra people, having the extra conversations, even though we have an endless to-do list, just being able to talk to people and make sure that we have that so that people feel included is, yeah, something that we're really happy to do. And I hope that others in the region catch on as well.
And doing this is also challenging who is really seen at local productions, who's seen in our own communities. Because if the accessibility features are promoted and people with disabilities are aware that they can come and see a production, they can come and see, a concert or whatever, and comfortable knowing that they will see and hear and understand what is being done, then that allows more and more visibility of people with disabilities to fit in and help to normalize the inclusion of people with disabilities.
Yeah, I think when we talk about rights, sometimes people kind of put that in a box as in basic human rights, for example, like, access to shelter and food and water, which is, I think, one component. But I also think understanding that people also have the right to things like entertainment or the things that enrich their lives, like, that's a really important co like having something like a theater production and like a subsection of the community or like, yeah, the disabled community can't watch that is like, I don't know, a little bit bizarre to me. And I'm again from the States, so I'm used to this kind of thing being normalized and enforced by like laws and policies. I think I'm used to people saying, hey, I need this kind of accommodation. Can you please provide that? And it was only after we started this process here in Barbados, I realized, oh, that's not a way that we can go about things because, disabled persons or the disabled community doesn't just assumes that access accommodations won't be made for them, so they just won't show up. And when I heard that, I was like, what? Like, that needs to change immediately. And it makes sense as well. Like, when I thought back of any event I've been to, like, I haven't seen people in wheelchairs or even like folks who use like canes or anything, or I haven't seen, yeah, other aides. Yes, I haven't seen like other disabled people like at communities. And I think just being aware of like my surroundings and seeing like how inaccessible spaces are can like, that's been an interesting observation. Things like entertainment, cultural performances, like we talked about this theater space being, a place to find healing and like making sure that everybody's a part of that conversation. Every Barbadian, I think, is really important.
And I think as we look at the play and the power of the messages, because it's more than one message you can take from this play, Scammer Life, the whole conversation can not just stay with the particular audience that views it, but now it can be translated and discussed amongst school children, amongst family members, the churches, so that we keep the conversation happening. We keep a real conversation going on around these social issues and how they are impacting us as individuals, as family, and as community.
Absolutely. Yes, the stories that like I don't know, just everybody like deserves to see themselves or see the issues that they're going through like on stage like that and kind of think deeper about what it is that's happening in their communities and
Yes, and
how to
realize that
address
it's
them.
not just that particular person, but it's not you alone, but other persons are also experiencing it.
Absolutely.
Okay, Anne, as the time quickly runs along, why don't we just continue this conversation about culture and theater production and making it very accessible to people with disabilities so that we can definitely be included. Where else can we have tickets? Because I think you mentioned being at the Barbados Council for the Disabled.
Yes, please. So we're working on printing tickets within the week, but we will have special discounted tickets for disabled persons and their chaperones at the Barbados Council for the Disabled over at the Garrison. We'll also be taking information from persons so that we can make sure that we have all of the resources ready for accessibility night. And again, those tickets will be $50 and they'll be printed and stocked within the week as we go into the new year for the January 18th show. So that would be Sunday, January 18th. So we hope to see people there. We'll also have a flyer coming out soon, and I'll be sharing that with the people we've been working with For more information about the play, you can go to our social media pages, crosscurrent.bb. And finally, just wanted to say a special thank you to the people who have made this happen. Miss Udalie Wickham Ashby, whose show I'm on right now, thank you. As well as Miss Rosanna Tudor, Miss Carrie Ann Eiffel, and the Barbados Council for the Disabled, as well as Yemi Knight, who's been our coordinator and helping facilitate all of these conversations and action steps to make this possible.
Well, let me say I have to bow to you and Gerard and the full cast of Scammer Life, the production team, the director, everybody for such an excellent production. And I am believing that this play will impact us to the point that we will see some major changes in how we approach some of the social issues, particularly around the young people. And I also want to commend and express our sincere thanks for including an accessibility night so that, again, people with disabilities can be a part of the social fabric of our society. Thank you so much, Anne.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a joy.
And again, let me wish each and every listener a wonderful new year. Focus on achieving some of what you want to truly achieve for yourself and your family. Family, family, family. Make that one of your major focuses this year as we seek to build and stabilize our country. So until next week, this is Udalie Wickham Ashby and my special guest, Anne Pulido, producer of Scammer Life. Wishing you a safe week. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me visionsbarbados@gmail.com or you can go to vob929.com website to listen to this and past episodes of Vision. So until next week, do take care of yourself. Love you.